Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them up to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. That's going to be our main text this morning, and we're going to get to that in just a few. But you can turn there and put your finger there and hold it there for a minute. If you were here last week, then you know that we celebrated our 6th anniversary as a church. And we had a lot of fun with our common meal downstairs and just celebrating what God's done in these last six years. It was January, the official date was January 15th, 2012. That's when we had our very first service right here in this sanctuary. There was snow on the ground. I wondered if anybody was going to show up, but we had a full sanctuary here, and it was just a great time as we kicked off this church. And here's the thing, as I look back over these 6 years, it's a blessing for me to see where we started and now where we are, what's God's done in and through us. Little did I know when we started how God would use us to impact this wonderful community here in Dallas. My main focus this morning is going to be on giving, okay? All right, let's all leave, right? Pastor's talking about giving. But the reason I'm doing that is we do this at the end of the year, but whether you are aware of it or not, we have become a church that is known for its giving, that we have become a church that gives. And the fact is, God calls all of us, not just our church, he calls all of us to be givers. Now, today I'm going to combine this message on giving with kind of our year-end financial reports at the end. Because we're a church that wants to be open, that wants to be transparent about our finances, about how we steward the money and the resources that God has given us. We want to be above reproach. And so this is something we started doing several years ago. And I believe these things go hand in hand, giving and being a good steward in our finances. And here's the thing, though. As I talk to you today about giving, I want you to understand this. I'm not just talking about money, right? That's one of the ways we give. That's a lot of times when we hear that word giving, that's where we go to. We go to money, tithe, financing. But I'm really talking about being givers in all aspects of our life. I'm talking about giving from the perspective of it being worship, it being an act of worship, giving of our lives in a way that glorifies the Lord. Romans 12:1 says this. I put it up on the screen so you don't have to flip because I know you're at 2 Corinthians 9. But it says this, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Now that word offer, to offer our bodies, it comes from the Greek word peristemi, which basically means to present. Okay? To present something to someone or to give something to someone. We are to give our bodies, give our lives, everything that we are as living sacrifices to the Lord. We give Him everything. And this scripture tells me that this idea of giving shouldn't just be a response to a need, right? A lot of times, there's a need, let's give. But it shouldn't just be a response to needs. It should be a response to Jesus. It should be a response to the Lord. We give out of our love for Him, out of our desire to follow Him and to follow His will for our lives. It's literally an act of worship. It's not about having to do it. Right? A lot of the things in the Bible, I have to do this. God wants me to do this. It's not about having to do it. It's about wanting to do it, having this desire to do it because of our love for Him. And our scripture this morning tells us that we should be people who give generously. regardless of what it is that we're giving, that we should give generously. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning. If you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me. We're going to read 2 Corinthians 9, and we're going to just read verses 6 through 15. This is what it says. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for the food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. And that's where we stop this morning. Now, at the beginning of these scriptures that we just read, Paul describes two different types of givers. And it's kind of our focus for this morning. The first one is this. He describes those who give sparingly and reluctantly out of compulsion. That's the first he describes. And then the second that he describes is this. Those who give generously and cheerfully. And the truth is, the type of giver we are, it really tells a lot about our heart. My heart and desire from the beginning as we planted this church was that our church would be a generous church. Now, if you've received anything from us in the mail on our letterhead, you may have noticed the little phrase at the bottom. It simply says this, love generously, live generously, give generously. It's a saying that Stacy and I came up with as we were processing planting this church. As we prayed about God, what God was calling us to be, we hoped that we would be a church that loved generously, that lives generously and gives generously, that we would be a church that is generous in all things, in everything that we do. And so as we look at this scripture this morning and we process this idea of giving, this idea of generosity, I think we need to ask ourselves, where do I fall here? What kind of giver are we? And the thing is, I know that can be different at times. I know that there are some things that it's easy for me to give. Other times it's not so easy. I don't know why, but food is one of those things that's hard for me to share. Okay? Right? When my kids are like, hey dad, can I have some of that? And I'm like, this is mine. Go get your own. Right? I don't know why. I mean, especially because my mom shared all the time. Like my mom, she would give she'd have a candy bar. I'm like, ooh, where'd you get the candy bar? Oh, here, you can have it. Is that your lap? Yeah, that's okay. You can have it. Not me. Where'd you get that candy bar? I bought it with my own money. Sorry, it's gone. Right? You know, I don't know why. So there are some things that it's easier for me to give. Other times it's not. But what does my life look like overall? When I look overall at my heart for giving, what does my life look like? Do I give sparingly and reluctantly? Or do I give generously and cheerfully? Now, the interesting thing is oftentimes the type of giver we are, I believe, has to do with how we view God. How do we view God? Here's what I mean by that. Do we see God Himself as a giver? Or do we see God as a taker? Do we view God as one who's always demanding things of us, always asking things of us? Do we view Him as a taker who's always wanting us to give, to give, to give? I can't deny that there are a lot of churches out there that make God seem like this, right? They're always asking for money. Oh, you need to give. You need to do this. You need to serve in this way. You need to do this, right? There are a lot of churches out there that make God seem like that. We're coming to church makes us feel empty. It makes us feel drained instead of the way God wants us to feel. So is that how we view God, or do we view God as someone who is a giver, who pours out His blessing, who is a supplier of our needs, who replenishes us and fills us up? Because how we view God is going to make a huge difference in how we respond to His call to be givers. If we view Him as a taker, we're going to want to hold back, right? We're going to want to hold on to things, to cling to things that we have. You know, let me use my water here as an illustration. If I know, man, this is the last bottle of water I'm going to have for a while, well, I'm going to treat it a little bit differently, right? I'm not going to gulp it. I'm going to take little sips. And if someone wants some of my water, I might not be so apt to share it, right? But if I have an abundance of water, oh, you know, where I don't have to worry about where I drink it and the water just keeps coming, well, shoot, look at this, man. There's just it's like, hallelujah. Oh, look, man, it just keeps coming. I mean, wow. It's like, if I have an abundance of water where if I don't have to, which one did I drink out of? Okay, I drank out of that one. If I don't have to worry, if I know, man, the water just keeps coming, then I'm going to be more apt to, you know, maybe just chug it, right? Or maybe, who wants some water? Does anybody? Oh, we got, oh, the whole family right over here. You guys got to share. You guys got to share, though, right here. You guys all raised your hand. All right. All right. So if I have tons of water, if I know that it's just going to keep coming, then I'm more apt to give that water away, right? And I can sit here and just chug. If you didn't ask for the water earlier, now you're wishing you did, huh? You see, if we view God as a giver who continues to replenish and give, we'll be much more apt to give freely. Matthew 10:8, Jesus says to His disciples when He sends them out to go, He says, freely you have received, so freely give, right? The fact is, God is a giver whether we see Him as a giver or not. Paul sums up this section of Scripture here that we read, verse 15, by saying, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. What is this indescribable gift that God has given us? It's Jesus, right? God gave us the most generous gift of all when He gave us His Son, when He gave us life. And Jesus gave us the most generous gift when He gave His life, right? When He gave it for us to pay the penalty that we all deserve. It's impossible for us to say that God isn't a giver. I mean, the most popular verse in the Bible, right? You know, football games, you watch, you see the Scripture up there in the back, or maybe you didn't know it was Scripture. Who's John, and what is 3:16? What does that even mean, right? John 3:16, the most popular verse in the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He kept it all to Himself. No, it says, for God so loved the world that He gave. He gives. He's a giver. And He simply asks us to follow in His footsteps. The thing I love about the Lord is He doesn't ask us to do things that He doesn't do Himself. that he hasn't done himself. When we realize that God is a giver and realize that all he's given to us, then it becomes easier for us to give. And to give generously, knowing that he will continue to replenish. As we look deeper into this scripture, Paul points out the fact that giving generously can only bring greater blessing in our lives. Verse 7 and 8 tells us, whoever sows or gives, that's what that word means, whoever gives generously will also reap or receive generously. Verse 8, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Paul is telling us here that when we give, it honors God. And when we honor God, he then blesses us for that. Now, these blessings aren't necessarily referring to finances or material things. I'm not a prosperity preacher. I will tell you that. Yeah, I believe God blesses us, but I'm not this thing like, oh, you give and God will bless you abundantly. You'll have all the money in the world. I'm not a prosperity teacher. I do believe that God will bless us spiritually. Spiritual blessings that he will pour out upon us that come from us living generously. Again, our whole life, not just financially, but giving of our lives, giving of our time, resources, whatever it may be that God asks of us. It's a blessing to give. Paul tells us in Acts 20, 35, he actually says that Jesus himself said this, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And that seems backwards to our world. What way? I like to receive. Man, that's so much better. I like to get gifts, okay? And so it's this backwards idea, but there's something spiritual that happens in our lives when we give. And when we give generously. Let me give you a little illustration here. So, in Newburgh, we had new pastors that came, and they had two kids, 9 and 7, when they arrived in Newburgh. My wife and I were the youth pastors there and was the interim pastor in that process until they got there. And when they got there, they had this, the 9 and 7, and then our kids were 3 and 1 when they arrived. And so their kids, 9 and 7, they totally took to our kids. They just loved and doted on our kids and just made them feel special. And to give you a little background on our pastor's wife there, she was one of those that she didn't like clutter, okay? So when the kids got new gifts and new toys at Christmas time and things and birthdays and stuff, it was kind of like, okay, what are you going to give up now? Okay, we're not going to let your room just grow with all this clutter, right? So she was very much on teaching her kids, all right, it's either going to go to Goodwill or if you want to give it to someone. And so constantly, Jordan would, their son would give things to my son, Toby. Their daughter would give things to my daughter, Emma. And so there was this thing of them learning at this young age, just of giving their toys, passing them on. And I remember in particular, Toby used to love to come early with me to church. I think he at that time was like 6 or 7. And Jordan was like 10-ish, I think. He liked to come to church with me early, and him and Jordan would hang out, and Jordan had this PSP, okay? My little boy thought that was the coolest thing in the world, and so he'd show up early, and Jordan would let him play with his PSP, and it was just this cool thing, right? Well, all of a sudden, Jordan gets a brand new little system. I don't know what was next after the PSP, but they asked, hey, can Jordan give Toby his PSP? And I thought, yes, he will love it, and so Jordan gave Toby his PSP, and Toby was excited. It was like the greatest thing in the world. This older boy giving him this toy, and it was awesome. Well, cool thing. Fast forward now, we move to Dallas. Now, I've got a kid, 9 and 7, as we made this move to Dallas here. And as we started this church, we had a family here, the Shin family, right? There's Evan right there, that Toby was around that age, and I can't remember how old you were, Evan, but Toby took to Evan and Logan and little Toby. And so Toby started, as he would give away things, he would give them to the Shin boys. And I remember in particular, Christmas had come and we were talking about, hey, we need to clean out, right? Some of our pastor's wife's stuff had rubbed off on us, you know, at least rubbed off on my wife. I want to hold on to the toys. I mean, still, I'm like, really? I like that toy. You want to get rid of it? I don't want you to get rid of it. So we were at that point where we were kind of encouraging our kids, hey, you just got new Christmas toys. You need to think about what to give away. Well, Toby came and he said, hey, Dad, I want to give away my bat cave. And at first I was like, what? No, you play with the bat cave still. You're going to get, I like your bat cave, you know? But he's like, no, Dad, I really want to give it. I know that the Shin boys, they love superheroes, and I want to give them my bat cave. And so one Sunday, we asked if it was okay, and I remember Toby, it happened in our room back over here after service. He brought them up, and he was like, I got something for you, and he unveiled the bat cave, and then gave them all the superheroes to go with it. I was like, you're giving them the superheroes too? I thought you still play with the superheroes, you know? And he gives them the superheroes. And it was cool and watching the kids get excited, but what got me more than anything was after they left, he said, Dad, my heart is happy. This little boy, you know, 9, 10 years old, he's like, Dad, my heart is happy. And it's just a reminder, there is something powerful when we learn to give with a generous heart. Jordan passed on to Toby, and I remember even Toby saying, Dad, I want to give like Jordan gave to me. He learned this lesson of generosity from someone else, and there's something powerful to learn. What a wonderful thing for a young boy to discover the fact that giving can be a blessing in and of itself. And that comes when we give with the right heart. The truth is, when we give with the right heart, everybody wins. Think about that. Everybody wins. We already pointed out the fact that we win, right? That the blessing that comes, that we get a happy heart, like my son talked about. The person who we give to, they win as well, right? I know it was a blessing for Evan and his brothers, right, to get that and that excitement to play with. It's a blessing for those that we give. And oftentimes, when we're compelled by God to give, it actually meets a need or gives hope to people. As a pastor, I've heard many stories from people that were kind of worn out, ready to throw in the towel. And someone reached out to them and helped them, blessed them in some way, did something. God spoke to them and they did something, and it gave them the hope to keep going. It encouraged them along the way. You see, when we give, it blesses us. It blesses others, but it also blesses God. It's a win-win-win situation here. Verse 12 and 13 says, this service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God. I know this. This has happened to me. I've had numerous times where people have blessed me in some way or another, and I realize, man, this isn't just them. This is the Lord. And so what do? I thank God. I thank the Lord for that blessing that He's given me. I give Him praise. I had this happen recently. Okay? Weird little story, but so my daughter's birthday is January 7th. My birthday is January 18th. And somewhere in the middle, we always go out and we celebrate. And what we normally do is we go spend a lot of money on sushi, okay? That's our thing. That's our big thing. That's kind of our birthday. Go eat sushi, spend some money, and do that. Well, the interesting thing is, you know, just because of Christmas this year and traveling and some things that were going on, my wife and I, as we're hitting, you know, that time that we're ready to look at going out to eat and figuring out what we're going to do, we looked at our budget. And we said, I don't think we're going to be able to do sushi. If so, we're not going to go to our favorite sushi place. We're going to have to go to some cheap sushi, right? Because we don't quite have the budget for it. But what was interesting is about a week before that day we were going to go get sushi, I get a card from somebody, and when I open it, it said, you know, hey, we love you. I wanted to do this before at Christmas time, but didn't get a chance. And I opened it, and it had 4 movie tickets, and it had a gift card for Tiga, my favorite sushi place in Salem. And what's so funny is my son was with me and I just start crying. I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm the sap, Toby. But he's like, what are you crying about? I said, just God's blessing. The fact that God knew to use this person to give to us, that it would create this blessing. And I thank the Lord because I knew that this person gave because they heard the Lord and I received because God wanted to bless me. And it's that reality that as those things happen, God gets the glory. He gets the praise. It's Matthew 5:16. My life verse. If you've been here, you know I've shared Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, that it may glorify your Father in heaven. Right? That when we let our light shine, when we give, it blesses that person, but it also blesses God because they begin to go, wow, what a blessing. And they thank the Lord for that blessing. When we learn to give the way God desires us to give, people are drawn to Jesus. This is why we need to be people who give generously and who give with the right heart. Because when we do, everyone wins. Who doesn't love a win-win-win situation, right? Where everyone wins. We win, the people we bless win, and God wins. Love generously. Live generously. Give generously. I pray that that's true about Dallas Four Square Church. I also, more importantly, pray that that's true about each of us, that we can learn to be givers, be people who give generously and bless others for it. Amen? Let me pray, and then we're going to take a few moments to share the financial reports for this year. But Lord, we come before you this morning, and we thank you, Lord, that you are a giver. That, Lord, you gave your life for us. You gave the Son, Jesus. You died on the cross for us. You gave your life. And, Lord, you ask us to do the same. You don't ask us to do something that you yourself haven't done already, Lord. And, Lord, as we learn to give, Lord, you want to bless us and encourage us and help us to give even more, Lord, to be generous in our giving in every aspect and in every way, Lord. Whether it's of our finances, whether it's of our time, whether it's of our resources, our abilities, Lord, of our lives, that we would give to you, Lord, that as we read in Romans 12, that it would be a living sacrifice to you. That, Lord, our giving wouldn't be something we have to do. It would be something that we want to do to worship you, to glorify you, Lord. So, Lord, may we learn to give in this way. May we understand, Lord, that you want to continue to give, to replenish, to supply our needs, Lord Jesus, to take care of us. And Lord, you bless us so that we can be a blessing to others. Help us to understand that, not to be people that hoard what we have, but that as we have an abundance, it's there for us to give and to help and to encourage others along the way. We thank you for these things, Lord. We thank you for this word. Pray that you just allow it to speak to each of us where we're at, Lord. Lord, you know we're all on this journey of what it means to serve you and love you and live our lives for you. And Lord, I love that you meet each of us right where we're at. So may this word hit each of us right where we're at. What do we need to hear today? What is it that you're challenging us in, Lord? May we take these things and Lord, not just walk out of here the same, but may we be changed and different because of what you're doing in and through us. And so we thank you for these things. We give you these things. In Jesus' name, amen.